inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
A couple of days ago, I was talking to Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group, and she was telling me about a brand new loan program she just rolled out to finance rental properties. It sounded really interesting to me, and I wanted to talk to her more about it to see if it was a good fit for me. And I thought if I'm going to have this conversation, I might as well have it on the show to share this with you to see if this might be good for you too. So Chaley is joining us on the podcast today. You probably know Chaley. She's been on a couple of times in the past, and we also talk about her all the time. She's a longtime sponsor of the podcast. But I just want to point out that Chaley is not paying to be here today. She's a sponsor of the show, but the sponsorships and the content are totally separate. We don't ever mix the two. I never do, never have done, never will do sponsored content. So Chaley is joining us just as a regular guest to share the information that she has with us. So with that being said, let's take a real quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Chaley Ridge.
The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Are you looking for actionable steps to create wealth and passive income? As a top-ranked business and investing podcast with over 800 five-star reviews, The Passive Real Estate Investing Show is packed with strategies and insight for putting money in your pocket. Marco Santarelli from Narada Real Estate Investments brings his expertise and knowledge on both passive and turnkey real estate investing, and he provides listeners with helpful tools and tips to create the wealth you've always wanted. Head over to iTunes or Google Play today and subscribe to Passive Real Estate Investing Podcast, or visit PassiveRealEstateInvesting.com. That's PassiveRealEstateInvesting.com.
Hey, Chaley, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Dan. I'm so excited to be here. I've got some really cool stuff to share.
Yeah, this is really exciting. So you have a new program that you were telling me about, and I want to learn more about this with everybody today. But before we get into it, I feel like we should clarify that this program is not going to be the right fit for every single buddy, that this is not something you're pushing on anybody. It's a creative way to finance a rental property for someone that's in a particular situation, right?
Yeah, rental or primary residence. But the exciting thing is that now it's available for investment properties. And exactly right. I just general rule of thumb, simply put, this product will work very well for any individual that has at least 10% of discretionary income on a month-by-month basis. Put another way, if you made $1,000 a month and you are able to stick aside or save $100 of that $1,000 on a month-by-month basis after all your expenses were paid, this is probably an effective lending vehicle for you.
Awesome. And it's going to save you a bunch of money. So let's get into exactly what this is. So this is called All-in-One. And this is a line of credit that you would get on a rental property. Is
exactly
that right?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, exactly right. It's a first lien HELOC or home equity line of credit. Most people think of the term HELOC as a second lien position mortgage, right? Behind maybe a first 30-year fixed, they go and attach a second line of credit. This is actually a first lien HELOC, which replaces the 30-year fixed closed-ended mortgage with a 30-year open-ended line of credit.
And that's a really big deal, because a HELOC on a rental property is just something that doesn't exist. I mean, a HELOC on a primary residence is pretty easy to get, but on a rental property, lenders just, for whatever reason, don't generally like doing that, right?
I don't have, as far as I know, I think there might be one or two institutions nationwide that even offer it. And those that do, the restrictions on how to qualify, loan to values, et cetera, are near impossible to meet. So yes.
Okay.
They're very rare.
Yeah. You know, I saw like a small bank that was doing one time, and they required an appraisal every single year. And that's just crazy that, you know, if the house values dip a little bit, they're going to close you out. And then the cost of paying for an appraisal every year is pretty crazy. So with your program, there's no yearly appraisal fees or any kind of requirement to keep things going?
No requalification.
Awesome.
Absolutely not. This is like any other first mortgage that you would get. It's a one-time qualification piece, and then you've got your line amount for 30
okay.
years.
Okay. And you said it's a first lien, so do you need to own the property free and clear to get this, or how does that work?
Yes, good question. So this is applicable for any type of transaction purchase where you'd put 25% down and just get a 75% of the purchase price line of credit. On a refinance basis, we've got two options, a rate and term, where you simply want to just replace your existing maybe 30-year fixed mortgage with this one. That's what rate and term means, replacing one for another, or a cash out refinance. And that could apply to a free and clear property or one that maybe has a small lien on it that has plenty of equity in it. So no, it does not have to be free and clear, and it can be used in any one of those methods that I just described.
Okay, awesome. Now, the magic to how this works and how this is going to save an investor a tremendous amount of money is in the way that the interest is calculated on a HELOC versus on a regular fixed mortgage. Can you kind of go over the differences in how the two products are priced, or I guess how the interest is calculated?
Sure. So let's take the 30-year fixed first, which is what most people are very familiar with and maybe even more comfortable with in general terms. I think that if I might just add a little bit of my own thoughts there. I think we've been conditioned sort of to assume that the 30-year fixed product is the end-all be-all, and I think many people are learning conversely that that may not be the case, and here's some details on why. A 30-year fixed mortgage is a closed-ended amortized loan, right? If anybody has seen the amount of interest that is paid over the course of the full 30 years, it's a big number. They're giving you that 30 years. The bank is giving you that 30 years to keep the payments down really low. But as a trade-off, you are paying an inordinate amount of interest. In fact, usually it's at least double what your principal, the borrowed principal, is. And it's predetermined. So exactly the same payment that you make on the very first month of the first year until the very last month of the 30th year it's predetermined. It's closed-ended. On this product, it's an open-ended line of credit, fluid and flexible. You can charge it up, you can pay it down. The interest accrual on the line of credit is directly related or based on several functions, but in order to answer your question, will be based on the outstanding principal balance for each day of a 30-day billing cycle.
So is a good way to think about it that instead of putting money in the bank and earning interest, you're taking your money and you're paying down your loan and you're saving interest that you would be paying on your mortgage.
Exactly right. Perfectly said. Yes. So instead of earning 0 to 2% in a savings account, what you've done now is you've taken that amount of money, let's call it $5,000, and instead of letting it sit there doing nothing, you take it and put it in against the line balance, driving the balance down by dollar for dollar, and now you are saving that amount of interest that you would have otherwise been paying on.
Okay, so if I had, say I make $5,000 a month, and I get my paycheck, and I maybe hold on to it, I get my check at the first of the month, and I pay all my bills at the end of the month. So that $5,000 is sitting in my HELOC, or it's temporarily paying down my HELOC. How much interest would I be saving per month by doing that?
You know, without getting, and I don't know about your listeners, but for me to start spitting out a bunch of numbers may be a little bit confusing. So without going in that kind of granular detail, I will just say that at $5,000 a month, sitting against a $100,000 line, bringing it down to $95,000 for as many days of a 30-day cycle as possible, assuming a fully indexed rate, you're probably saving about $26 a month on that amount.
Okay. Well, you see, that I mean, when you just think over time, that really adds up. I mean, so someone might not get too excited about saving $26 one month, but over time, month after month, that really starts to add up. And where someone I think could really come out ahead is if they had like a big chunk of money, like maybe if someone's a realtor and they have a $10,000 commission check, or maybe they sell a property and have a chunk of money, instead of putting that money in the bank and earning nothing, they could pay down the line of credit and save a substantial amount of money every single month, right?
All having total and fluid access and autonomy to those funds. But that's just one piece of it, Dan, and I'm sure we're going to get a little bit more into this. But the other part, so that what we just described is certainly going to compound over time. Because you're right, 26 on our example, 26 bucks a month is not going to light anyone's hair on fire. But that discretionary income that we started talking about, that 10% left over, that is the second of several ways that we are mitigating interest accrual, right? Because the 10% is just going to sit there month after month after month, right? Discretionary income, as it would anyway in their checking or savings, again, doing nothing. So we're talking about two different things there. One of which being the number of days in a 30-day cycle that you can leave depository income against the balance, driving the interest down for that many days, but also that discretionary income. In our example, we use 10%. That combined with the first really is effective in the compound effect and reducing the amount of interest that they would pay over time.
Sure. And so any money that you put in, so if you had extra money and you wanted to pay down the mortgage, you have access to that money and you can get it back at any time you want.
Just like your checking account is now, exactly right. You become, in essence, your own bank.
That's really interesting, and because I know for me, I always want to make extra mortgage payments, but a lot of times I'm hesitant to do it because I know that if I send it an extra $1,000 and I need that for some emergency, you really can't get access to that unless you go through a cash out refi, and that's going to take some time. But with this program, if I sent in $1,000 and next week I have some repair and I need that money back, I can literally just write a check and get that money right back.
It's right? Absolutely correct. Yeah. And I think that the interest savings on this product is profound. And I think a lot of people are really going to get excited about that when they're able to see it for themselves in black and white. But for me, it kind of is secondary to the flexibility that you're describing in that last point. Becoming your own banker, really, or your own bank, where, yes, you have total access to your funds and you can pay down as quickly as you want, drop back up, pay it down. This is a 30-year HELOC that affords you all the flexibility in the world. It's so cool, especially for investors.
Now, is there any kind of approval process? Like, so say if over time I build up enough money to use that as a down payment on a rental, Do I need any kind of approval to use those funds, or is it literally you write a check and you're done?
Absolutely. No reapproval process whatsoever. Those are your funds at your discretion for how you want to use them, when you want to use them, for what you want to use them. Again, it's total autonomy.
That is really pretty incredible. So like, what would be the downside? I mean, this really sounds like a pretty interesting thing. I guess the interest rate, I mean, like, is that the only difference between a 30-year fixed and this, that the rate on the HELOC floats?
Yeah, so this is an adjustable rate mortgage. It is a home equity line of credit, so it'll be tied to a variable and a margin. I can talk about that in a second. The question, what's the catch, right?
Yeah.
What's the fine print? This has been coming up. I've had an opportunity to address and answer this question now dozens of times since our initial release a few weeks ago. And I got to be honest with you, I feel sort of like a a snake oil salesman or something where I can't, I technically and legitimately cannot come up with a valid, you know, what gives, what's the, you know, what's the catch here? It sounds too good to be true. And I'm one of those people too, that, that will often look at something and say, okay, what's this really going to end up being?
Yeah.
The only thing I could come up with is that a lot of times people associate that home equity line of credit with a second lien, right? And 9 times out of 10, those are done at virtually zero cost. They're like free loans, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is. This is just as traditional as any other first mortgage that you've ever received. And there are the standard closing costs are associated. So if I had to give one thing, I guess it would be that. It's, you know, it's going to cost you what it would always cost you to get any other traditional loan.
No,
I got nothing else.
Yeah. One thing that I really like about this program is the flexibility. So the interest payment or the monthly payment isn't necessarily required every month. Can you walk through how that works?
Yeah, I struggled with this when I was kind of first really attaching myself to it, learning it and understanding it. To say there is no payment due kind of throws people for a loop, but it is the reality. Interest is accrued on a daily basis, right? And at the end of a 30-day cycle, there will be a certain number of interest that has accrued over that period of time. There is no payment due. As long as you have a line balance that could support just simply adding that amount of interest to the top of it, and the limit and the balance are in line enough to do so, then it's perfectly feasible that no payment is due. No depository activity is necessary. Let me give you an example. You have a $100,000 balance and you have a $120,000 line. Over a 30-day period of time, zero depository activity in this account. Nothing has changed. Nothing has happened. It just simply accrued 30 days worth of interest. Let's say now on day one of the next month, that $100,000 you owe $1,000 of interest on it.
Mm-hmm.
So now your balance is $101,000, but you had the amount available to just simply tack the interest on top of that. That's not likely to happen because if you're using this the way it's intended as your depository new checking account, then it's not going to just increase the balance that way.
Right. So the interest, if you don't pay the interest, it's basically just eating away at the available credit that you have on the line, right?
The available equity.
Equity,
exactly.
Okay. So eventually, if you weren't making any deposits, eventually you would reach your credit limit, and then you would have to start paying interest, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
And that would be subject to default, right?
So right.
If you have any equity or room left in the line and you're not making even an interest payment, the balance cannot exceed the line limit.
Right. But the way that you win with this program is to pay down the credit line. And then as you pay it down with any excess money you have every month, whether it's rent checks or your extra money from your paycheck, as you pay it down, you have this great tool available where you have now down payments to buy more properties. It's really kind of limitless what you can do. So you want to pay it down. I don't think you would ever not want to make the payment, but if you got into a bad spot, you didn't have to make the payment, right? Am I thinking about this right?
Yeah. That's fair. And it's at your fingertips, right? So you're describing having access to it for down payment on another property or paying cash for another property and doing a cash out refinance, whatever. Yeah, it's right there at your fingertips as you have paid the line down. And again, I hope I'm not repeating myself too many times. This is for 30 years.
Right. Yeah. And that's another thing to point out too, because most HELOCs that you're going to get on a primary house, you have a draw period of maybe 5 years and then that's it. Like it converts to a payback period. So for 30 years, you can draw on this line of credit.
Yep. For 30 full years, it does not switch over into some principal and interest payment at that point. It is still just interest accrual the same way as it started in day one of the loan for a full 30 years. What does happen, if I can kind of segue, is that at month one of year 11, The line limit, let's say you start with $100,000 is your limit. In month one of year 11, the limit will reduce by 1/240th. So if you started at 100 grand, in month one, your limit's going to be 99,878. I don't know if I did that right, but something like that.
Yeah, so it goes down about $400 a month so that you would eventually be at zero by the end of 30 years. Is that right?
I think it's a little less than
okay. Okay.
I mean, it depends on the line limit, of course. The dollars, the math would be the math, but the math is 124th percent. Did I say that right?
Yeah. So
1/240.
Right. Okay. So there's 240 that where that comes from. There's 240 months in 20 years, right? So over 20 years, that line's going to get decreased just a little bit every single month.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Perfect. Now, what about if someone gets into this, they decide they don't like it, they want to close out the line or maybe refi into a regular mortgage? Are there any prepayment penalties to get out of this loan?
None at all. Zero.
Awesome. What about fees to get things set up?
There's an annual fee of $60 to maintain the banking features within it. And just to clarify on that, it will be exactly the same as any bank or checking account that the individual has had up until now. Online bill pay, routing, numbers, debit cards, all of that. The cost for the loan itself is going to be just what you would expect on any refinance purchase transaction that was on a closed-end amortized loan.
Okay. Now, I know this can be kind of complicated, and hopefully we didn't confuse anybody, but if somebody wants to investigate this more, maybe run through some scenarios for some actual numbers for how much this program would save them, how could somebody get in touch with you or learn more about how to move forward?
Yeah, so we have an interactive simulator that is super cool. Anybody can use it. It's they can find it on our website, www.ridgelendinggroup.com. You'll see the link. It says Launch Simulator. They can go in there and they can effectively compare this to any other loan that they want to, really, and see in black and white on the results page. And it's just a very quick intake process. It's not a ton of information. They can see the results comparing one to the other. It'll show you very specifically, one, if this is really the product for you. You're going to see on that results page, if you're not the right candidate for this, those details are black and white, it's going to tell you. But otherwise, it will show you how much interest that you're going to save, how quickly it would take you based on the variables that you input to pay the line off, all kinds of cool historical graphs that show the comparison between a 30-year fixed mortgage annual or 25-year average of rates there versus the LIBOR, which is what this loan is attached to. A lot of great information on there that they'll be able to see for themselves.
If you want to check out Chaley's website, it's ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE lendinggroup.com. And if you want to call and set up a time to talk to Chaley, her phone number is 855-74-RIDGE. That's 855-747-4343. I'd like to thank our sponsor today, Autoslash.com, for making today's episode possible. If you're looking to make sure you get the best rate possible the next time you rent a car, check out Autoslash. This website is incredible. The way it works is you put in the information on where you want to rent the car, and Autoslash will automatically scour the internet and find every available promo code, every available discount, and make sure that you're getting the lowest rate possible when you rent a car. The real magic to Autoslash, though, is that it continues to search the internet, and if it finds a flash sale or some kind of new discount code that comes out, Autoslash will email you, and you can cancel your reservation and rebook at the new lower price. The best part about Autoslash, it's totally free. There's no cost to use their service, and they save their average user 30% off the rate that they can find on any other car rental website. It's a great website. Check it out today. Go to autoslash.com. That's A-U-T-O, SLASH. That's autoslash.com. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe. We've got new interviews every single Tuesday. And if you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as a new episode comes out. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.